chapter 30. I want to read verses 1 to 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 to 15. As you know that have been here, we've been going through the book of Isaiah and just highlighting some of the highlights. We've been really focusing on God's message to the people of Judah and Israel as a nation, and then how it compares with God's message to us as a nation. So let's stand together as we look to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 to 15, and thinking about this birthday of our nation and what this might mean in connection with our own nation, our own freedom.
With the reverence you are due, let our lives respond to grace. Let us serve, let us obey. May we be broken till we want nothing but your truth.
Trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a
God
people who could not profit them, nor be in help,
ages
past, profit, but a shame,
only
and a
one thing of
the burden
you
of the beast of the south,
ask,
and the land of trouble and anguish, whence come the young and old lion, the viper, fiery, flying serpent.
Back to
they will carry their riches upon the shoulders
again.
Of young asses and their treasures upon
give
the
legs.
Camels
to
people that shall not profit them.
With
the
reverence
the
you are due,
no
let our lives
to
respond
this,
to
the
grace.
To
let us serve,
out,
let us
right
obey. May we be broken till we want nothing
people.
Your
children
truth.
Will not hear the law of the Lord, which saith to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits.
We
get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease.
Praying for our homes, for our leaders, for our
land. Trust in oppression and perverseness. Stay thereon.
Give us hearts.
Therefore, this iniquity
to
shall be unto you as a breach ready to fall,
with
the
reverence
swelling out
you
in a high
are
wall,
due.
Breaking,
let our lives respond to grace. Let us serve, let us obey. May we be broken,
so that there shall not be found
till we
want in the bursting
nothing
of it,
but your truth.
To take water withal out of the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. Our Heavenly Father,
amen.
We
thank you, ladies,
thank you for this passage
our prayer
of Scripture.
That the Lord give us hearts.
Reminds
to
us
honor
of those days
EMI,
in Israel.
But your prayer as well.
That nation,
I
by and large, turned its back
that
on
kind
you.
Kind of music,
went
don't you?
The way of Egypt and looked
the world
for
has nothing to compare with it.
Under the
nothing
covert
compare
of
with it. So thank God for
the offerings of the world.
These ladies serving that way.
Thank you, Father.
Take
that
your Bible, if you would, back to Isaiah chapter 30.
For
Isaiah chapter 30.
That you desired
and,
your nation to come back and
let's consider
quietness
what
and
is here in the passage before
be restored
us.
And
light
and
of our
I'm sure, Father,
state
as
a nation.
We can see
and
it in
we won't
own,
do that.
History.
I want to mention in by way of introduction
there,
some things that related
well.
To this
so
that
we pray,
go
Lord,
all the way over
we
to
as
Ramonia,
a nation might have this celebration of another birthday
Romania.
That we might as
Romania.
People reflect on
Romania
from whence we have come.
Brother Gary
how
Matheny, his
that,
wife Nancy, great servants of the Lord,
very prominent
we've supported them as Brother Ren said since they went there.
We,
I knew Brother Matheny when he pastored up in Paulsville, Washington. I was pastoring in Eugene, Oregon at the time. We fellowshiped together then, and then he went to the field and we supported him.
To get out of
time
our way and not bother
left
us.
There and
Father,
been behind him ever since. And thank God for the ministry that has been established there, five churches
the
and numerous others called to ministry out of those churches that are serving there in Romania. Now, towns we were in were Bustin and Sinaia, Brasov, St. George, and Bucharest. Those were the areas that we spent some time in. The main church was the one in Bustin, and the second church that we preached in and ministered in was in St. George. That one led by Pastor Ramos. What a blessing that was to be part of that work as well. Our drivers were Madeline and Lorenzo, two that were connected with the church there in Bustin, and Madeline and his wife, very instrumental in the church and very involved. Lorenzo has not been in the church for about 10 years. He was saved in vacation Bible school as a child in that church, but got away from the Lord but was with us the whole time. And by the time our few days with him were up, Lorenzo said to his brother, he said, I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm going to be in church with you. So thank God for that. We pray that that happened. I don't know, haven't heard whether or not that has occurred. We're praying for Lorenzo's wife, Alexandra. I met her briefly in front of the pastry shop where she worked there many long hours, and she's not saved yet. We're praying for her salvation. Another one of the folks that was instrumental in helping us was Marian. He was our interpreter. And I was traveling with Marian, I think on the way to St. George or from St. George. And I think, was Cassie? With Cassie, were you in the car with us? Where's Cassie? Cassie, there, were you with us on that trip? Were we going to or from St. George? Two. We're going to St. George. We were traveling with Marian with his wife in their car. And he gave me the testimony of his life. He said he was raised Orthodox, as 90% of the 90% of the Romanians are Orthodox church. And as you may know, the Orthodox Church, very similar to Catholic Church, basically, similar way of worship and the rituals and the icons and so on like that, prayers to saints and these kinds of things. But raised there, as many Romanians are in the Orthodox Church, he and his wife had been planning a divorce. They even had it scheduled on their calendar a year from that time. They were going to go ahead and finish everything they needed to and get their divorce, you know. And she, during that time, got an invitation to Brother Matheny's Independent Baptist Church there in Bustin and decided to attend and went. And Marian had been taught and had thought, as many Orthodox were, he had been taught that Independent Baptists were some kind of a cult and that they did terrible things in their services, and they had even occultic rituals that went on in their service. He had been taught that as an Orthodox member, as the priests had told him, warned him against ever even attending a Baptist church. So that was his thinking. But his wife came home, and she was a little different, and she continued to go, and she kept changing, and she was so much different that he said, I wonder what she's hearing there. What is going on there? So he went the first time out of just curiosity, and he told me this in his testimony. He said, by the time the service was done, I was fuming. he said I was just so mad. My plan was to really light into my wife in the car on the way home, because I was so mad. She told him everything I'd ever done. She told him all my sins, and he was so upset with her. And so he's going to light into her in the car on the way home, and for doing that. And so he started in on her, and she said, "I didn't say anything. I didn't tell him anything." And he was taken aback by that. And she said, "By the way, don't you do all those things?" And he said, "Yeah, I do. I do." And so the Holy Spirit began to take work on his heart. But he said, "I will tell you one thing. I'm never going back to that church again." That's what he said. But the next week on Sunday, he was the first one up, first one dressed and ready to go. He said it wasn't too long after that that I realized that what had changed my wife was what I needed. And I trusted Christ as my Savior and was born again. So what a wonderful testimony. Said at that point, of course, our divorce plans were scrapped. And from that time until this, that was many years ago, from that time until this, they've been serving the Lord together with the Matheny family there in the church in Bustin and all around. And he is serving and preaching and teaching and so forth. What a blessing Marty and his family were to us. He said to me during the course of his testimony, the pastor said, my lifelong ambition was to get out of Romania and get to America. That's all I wanted to do, get out of Romania and get to America. And he said this, he said, "I always wanted to get to America, but then God brought America to me when you sent Brother Matheny. So what a blessing that was for all of us. Well, it was a powerful, powerful testimony. As Marion told us that, God sent America to me when he sent through your giving, through the giving of American churches, he sent America to me. And he said, I wanted America's freedom, America's opportunity, America's wealth. But he said, now I don't even desire to go to America. He said, I don't even desire to visit America. God gave me all I need of America right here. And so he's been serving faithfully there, and what a blessing he was to all of us as he did our interpretation work for us as we preached in the churches. And so pray for Mari and his family. Pray for the work there in Romania with the Matheny's. What a great, great opportunity it was. You'll hear more about that tonight in the evening service with our young people giving their testimonies as well. But we've been seeing in our Bible reading some of the parallels between our nation and Isaiah's nation in the last few weeks. And this week in our text that we just read, we see the Lord calling the people of a nation that is in trouble to wait upon Him and to return to Him and place their trust and their faith back in Him for direction and for deliverance. And so let's just take a few minutes and look at the passage there and consider some things that we need to apply to our own nation and to our own lives. The Lord's calling this people, calling them back to Himself, but there's some evidences that they have, as a nation, turned away from God, evidences which you might see apparent in our own nation as well. And I want to give you some of those evidence that we read about in verse 1 was the first of them. It said, you're taking counsel, you're going to counselors, you're checking in for counsel, you got problems and you're going for counsel, but he said, you're taking counsel, but not of me. So that's one of the evidences that they as a people, as a nation, had begun to turn away from the Lord. They're taking counsel, but not from the Savior. They had begun to turn to science for counsel. Science, falsely so called. Bill Nye, the science guy, isn't a scientist. He's an entertainer. And yet people would take Bill Nye's word over the Bible more readily in many cases. And that's what's happening here. These people are taking counsel, but it's not from God. Bill Nye says, life on Earth came from Mars. We're Martians, really. We're Martian in origin, you know. Why don't you say pick another planet? Your planet is as legitimate as his planet, so pick another planet. I'll take Krypton. Life came from Krypton, you know. I can prove that just as much as he can prove that life came from Mars. See, Bill Nye, the science guy, you know. But people, because Bill Nye said it, a lot of people are going to believe that. They're taking counsel, but not from me, God says. They're listening to science, often falsely so-called science, and taking that as though it were fact. Chris Hitchens has written a book recently, The Science of the Soul. Christopher Hitchens is a committed atheist. But in the book, he says this. He says, no one was there at the origins of life and the origins of Earth. So all that we say about it is theory. And I thought that was an honest statement. That was an honest statement. I wasn't there and you weren't there at the creation of the world. And so what we say about it has as much validity as what he would say about it, you know. But the difference is we do know the one who was there, you know. We know the testimony of one who says he was there. Bill Nye doesn't know the testimony of anyone who even says he was there. I know the testimony of someone who said he was there, and I'm going to believe him, because in looking at the evidences for both cases, I find the mountain of evidence pointing to the theory that we have, the creation that lines up with the Scripture. You know, and so we have science, falsely so called, often. True science is good, and I'm for it. All true science is beneficial and helpful to us. True science is important to us, and it's good to study true science. It's very valid study. It's a God-blessed study for you to study true science, which is provable science, which is usable science. But when you get into areas where it's all speculation, and did we come from Mars or did we come from Krypton, That's not true science. That's entertainment. And so the council, but not of the Savior, they turn to science. They turn to education. Our hope is in education and higher education. How's that working out for you, higher education? I have a letter on my desk from a man 48 years old from the Midwest. He's asking for prayer and he's asking for help. And he's saying, I have 2 degrees. He got 1 degree and he said, I couldn't get a job with that one. I went back and got a sociology degree. He said, I've got 2 degrees. I'm a doctor of sociology. Just can't get a job, you know. He said, I'm working part-time at an auto parts store and part-time at a restaurant. He said, I can't get a regular job. And so he said that my education isn't working out so well, you know. How's that working out for you? Berkeley, the home of free speech, is a place where you better be careful what you say because you'll be violated. You'll be attacked. If you try to exercise free speech that doesn't agree with the accepted line of reasoning of the leftist liberal element there. So be careful of that. Don't say what you believe. Don't say what you think unless you're willing to take a bottle in the head or a rock to the teeth, you know. That's what we're talking about. Turning to education for our hope. And what has that brought us? It hasn't brought us the solution we thought it might. They turn to industry and technology. They're seeking counsel, but not of the Lord. Technology, oh, that'll get us there. That'll win the day for us, technology. If we all have a cell phone, a smartphone, that'll win the day for us, technology. You know, if we have that. They turn to industry and technology, and the answer hasn't been there. They turn to finances. Our nation has taxed its way and borrowed its way into a hole that none of us can even see the bottom of. And then we as individual consumers have often followed suit and spent our way into holes that none of us can see the bottom of. And so how's that worked out for us? Not so well, has it? We're turning to these things as answers when the Lord says they've sought counsel, but not of me. I tell you another indication that this nation Israel had turned its back upon God, and one that we might see in our own nation in some respects, is having a covering but not a sufficient one. Verse 1 there again says, you have a covering, you're covered with a covering, but not of my spirit. Not of my spirit. In Bushtin, the hotels are very nice. We stayed at a very nice hotel, but the European customs are a little different than ours. And there's the bed cover, there's the mattress cover, and then there's a sheet. It's not the kind that you can't fold, you know, those kind that go over. It's just a sheet, and it just covers the top of the mattress. Doesn't go over the edges at all, but there's not a second sheet. And then the next thing that goes on top of you was a big, thick, heavy blanket, you know, and it was a warm night. They don't have air conditioning, so none of us wanted to have the heavy blanket. So, you know, you either slept in your jammies on top of the sheet, or I can't sleep that way. So I took the sheet off and laid on the bed covering there and put the little sheet on there. But it was a short sheet. It was about 5'9" sheet, you know. So either my feet were sticking out or my neck was sticking out. So I was reminded of this passage of Scripture here that spoke of the insufficiency of the covering. You know, the covering was not sufficient. As he said here, it was a covering, but it was not the kind of covering you needed. It was a covering, but not of God's Spirit. They weren't covered by the Spirit of God. Look back in your text there to chapter 28 and verse 20. You can see the covering that I'm talking about. You can see it described here. The verse 20 of chapter 28, verse 20, chapter 28. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it. That was the case there in our beds. They were not quite 6 feet. A bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than one can wrap himself in it. So the sheet wasn't big enough. And so the indication here of our Heavenly Father was that here's a nation that sought for a covering, but not of God's Spirit. They've sought the covering of religion, and they've added religion after religion and said, by religion we'll have a sufficient covering, but religion is insufficient covering. They've sought moral standards and moral desire, but morality is not a sufficient covering. They've sought service opportunities, and we live in a nation that is a great testimony in the area of opportunities to serve mankind. But the service to mankind is still not a covering for our sins. And so the Father said to the nation of Israel there and to Judah, he said, you've got yourself a covering, but it is not a sufficient covering because it's not of God's Spirit. My friend, today you may have yourself a covering, but it is not sufficient unless it's the covering grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And that's the only sufficient covering, and you can have that in Christ and coming to Him today. This nation did not have that anymore. A third indication of their condition was that they were following a course, but it was not the sound course or the right course. Says verse 2, they walked to go down into Egypt. They were following a course. They were on track. They were going somewhere. But where they were going was not where God was leading. And we as a nation, we're on track. We're going somewhere. We're progressing, all right, as a nation. But we're not progressing on the track that God is leading. So it was a course, but it wasn't a sound course. You notice he said it was a walk down. It was a walk down into Egypt. They were on their way down toward the worldly and away from the godly. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a culture that is drawing us away ever from the godly into the worldly. We live in a culture that is telling us, let's spend less time among God's people and in God's Word and in God's house, and let's spend more time in the places the world frequents. Let's do less of what's blessed and helpful and more of what's entertaining and so forth. That is not the direction we need to be taking. It's a walk, but it's not the right walk. It's a walk without regard to God's Word. Another word there that you see is that they were putting confidence in shadows. Verse 3 and down through verse 7 suggests that. They were going over to Egypt for their trust. They were living under the shadow of Egypt. And he said, that's not going to help you. It's just going to confuse you. Putting confidence in shadows is what a nation does when it's turned its back on God, hoping that the shadow is a reflection of the reality when it is not the case. They had confidence, which led to confusion, as verse 3 says. They had pride, which turned to shame, verse 5 tells us. And then they counted on something that should be strong, but that which was strong failed them in verse 7 there. I'm saying they put confidence in shadows. Today, it is very possible for you and I to put a good deal of confidence in that which is really nothing more than a shadow, you know. We need to not put our confidence in the shadow, but in the reality that is Jesus Christ. You know, it's a dangerous thing even to put confidence in those things that seem right, but not to put confidence in the right. So be careful of that, putting confidence in shadows. The last thing you see here that indicated the state of the nation was that they were displaying a scorn for the Word of God, for the laws of God. In verse 9 and following, you read that. It's a rebellious children that will not hear the law of God. And they're saying to the preachers and the priests and the prophets and the seers, they're saying, stop telling us that negative stuff. Stop preaching about God, about holiness, righteousness, repentance, faith. Stop that. Give us something we want to hear. Entertain us. Give us something that makes us feel good. And that's what they were calling for. You can read it. Isn't it remarkable how up to date the Bible is with the present culture? I mean, all these years ago, it's just like it is today. Get out of the way, he said. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want that stuff, you know. Therefore, we want to prophesy deceits. We want smooth things. We want to have a fellow get up there that's just got a way with words, and he's got the good stories, and he gives us things that make us feel good, and he gives us stuff that helps us succeed in our business and our careers, and that's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear all this stuff about turning back to God and repenting of sin and all that. We don't want to hear that. So tell your preachers to shut up and tell God to leave us alone. It's a nation that is beginning to scorn God's law. And for such a people, you know, the only way, uh, the only the only promise ahead is the promise of impending judgment. And he says it there. He says it's like a floodgate that is just about to burst in verse 13 and 14. He said the sin and iniquity is about to burst the wall, breach the wall, and it is pushing out, and it is going to explode. It'll be sudden when it comes. Don't let it come to that. And I thank God that always, as always is the case, God always ends his warning with an invitation. He ends the warning with invitation. And here in verse 15, he provides that invitation. He says to the congregation, as it were, stand together. And we'll begin a verse of invitation. He says it like that almost when he says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So he's got that invitation going, and he says, come back to me, Israel, Judah. Come back to me, America. Back to the old paths. Back to the Word of God. Back to church. Back to God's people. Like the prodigal son, back to his father's house and his father's embrace and his father's love. Back. Returning. Back. Then he says, is there you'll find rest. Rest. Stop all your works. And oh, you're trying to do it your way and trying to work it out your way. He said, rest in me. Rest in my promises. Rest in confidence in Jesus Christ. Quietness and confidence is where strength is found. Confidence in Christ, that's where strength is found. Grace and mercy and blessing, that's the answer. Verse 18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. The moment you cry to him, say, he says, I'm going to be gracious to you. I want to hear you. I want to answer you. He shall hear it, and he will answer thee. Boy, that's a great promise, a great truth. He will hear you. He will answer you if you come and exalt him, put him in his proper place in your life, put him as Lord of your life, recognize that his grace and mercy is what you and I need most today, and then we'll have clear direction, true direction. Verse 21 says, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, this is the way, walking in it, when you turn to the right hand and to the left. So he says, I'll give you clear direction, and I'll bless you with prosperous, beneficial, blessed life. Verse 23, he shall give the rain of thy seed. Thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous in the day. In that day shall thy cattle feed in the large pastures. The idea there is, I want to bless your life. I want to bless your job. I want to bless your business. I want to bless your family. I want things to go well for you. God wants things to go well for you. You and I are just going about it all the wrong way. You're trying to go the world's way, you know. God says, if you just come and rest in me, put your confidence in me, recognize my grace is there for you. If you surrender, submit to me, you know, I'll work it all out for you. And prosperity might not look like what you think it looks like. Prosperity might be different than you think it looks like, but he will prosper you. He will bless you. The things where you need prosperity most are in your soul and spirit, not in your material goods, you know. So he's going to bless you with those things, and that's where it's found, my friend. Don't be among those who heard God's call and yet said no, as there in the last part of verse 15 said, you would not, you would not. It wasn't God, it was us rejecting him. He said, ye would not. And so, my friend, let's not be among that crowd. Let's recognize that there's a rest and security and quietness and confidence in Christ our Lord. Let's stand together and give an invitation. I want to invite you like Jesus did in verse 15. I want to invite you to come put your confidence and trust in him, to rest in him. If you're here and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, you're a good person, you're trying to do right, you're a moral person, you want to do the right thing, you're a good citizen, and all those things are great. And you say, I believe in God, and that's a good thing too, to believe in God. But I want you to recognize that here these people are called like we are being called, to come and place our rest and our confidence entirely in Christ. So you do that today, and the Lord will save you, and he'll change you. He'll do like he did with my friend Marian, who recognized that all his sins were separating him from God, and that the Holy Spirit of God was doing a work which his wife didn't do, his pastor didn't do, but the Holy Spirit of God did. convicted him and convinced him and showed him he needed to be saved, forgiven, cleansed, changed. Maybe today that's the step you'll take, and you'll not any longer be on the way down into Egypt, but on the way up to Zion. So let's give an invitation, and you come if you need to trust Christ your Savior. What we'll do, if it's a lady that comes, we'll have a lady show you out of the Bible how to call on Jesus and how to know the truth about salvation, about being saved. And she'll show you out of the Bible in a few short moments how to call on Christ. It's something a child can do, you know. And Jesus said, except you be as little children, you cannot come unto me, you know. He wants us to come in that kind of humility, that kind of simplicity. We're not going to give you a difficult, hard formula. We're not going to give you some papers to join the church. We're not going to do anything like that. We're just going to show you out of the Bible how to call on Jesus and be saved and know it. Know it. You can know that you have everlasting life. God promises that. He said it in 1 John, that you may know that you have everlasting life. So you can know it. You can know it. And God wants to show it to you. So if that's your need, you come. As a man comes, we'll have a man show you out of the Bible over to the side of how to call on Christ to be saved. Then if you're a Christian, you say, Pastor, you know, there's some of those areas where the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart, and I need to get some things taken care of. Maybe you're here and you're saved, and you just need to follow the Lord in obedience and believer's baptism, and that's your decision. You're coming for that. Or perhaps you need a church home, and you believe this is where God wants you to serve together with us. You should come too. And maybe there'll be some Christians up here just praying about some things. That's fine too. They'll be up here at the altar just praying. So you go ahead and make your way as we come. Let's sing an invitation hymn. What are we going to sing, Brother Ryan? 60. Father, we ask your blessing on this invitation time, and we pray that you touch our hearts and help us respond according to your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 60. As others come, will you come as well?
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.